opportunity in Eretz Yisrael to resolve many of the sociological problems that they're facing with Galus. The real problem is, of course, that they don't want Galus. No one wants to talk about that. We're worrying about how to make Galus easier for them, the Russians and so on. That's really not the problem. The problem is they don't want Galus, period. Not easy Galus, not hard Galus. No one is pleading with the Rabbonim to ease up on the Galus. The Rabbonim are pleading with each other. How do you make it easier? But no one is complaining that there are Geirim knocking on the doors and they want to go in. The recent tumult with the army business, I don't know if you people saw the resolution, how the issue was resolved. You really have to have a sense of humor to be able to read that stuff. They finally made up Pshara. Yeah. What's the Pshara? Same thing that was before. Rabbi Avadya Yosef Shtita didn't change his mind, Kahuza, right? He said that, okay, if you prove to me that the fellow was lying, he didn't want to be a ger, we'll investigate. But all with the same principle that he established, you have to have badoit, absolute certitude, that at the time in Makabal Gelus, he didn't mean it. Of course, it's virtually impossible to establish that. And in one of the tshuvas of Igros Moshe, he mentions that in passing. Maybe it could be that there was instantaneous Kabbalah Gelus, and then they changed their mind. So it's ready, Yisrael Shechota, not Achzor in the Gelus. But it's all Baba Mises. Fine, they Baruch Hashem, they made a pesha, they stopped yelling at each other. It was too dramatic an occurrence in Eretz Yisrael that people go out. They planned a mass protest against Rabbi Avadya Yosef that they realized would lead to bloodshed. It's not a possibility. It remains a problem. The solution to the problem doesn't exist, but a partial solution exists by dunking the little ones. We already missed an opportunity for all these years. But by asking the people to allow their children to go through a Geirus procedure, no problem, take them swimming in a mikveh. The kids would love to come and play in the water. You can give them water polo games to play, and so on. Right? And that's it. Because by Akotan, we don't need to know about Kabbalah or Mitzvos. That's the key point where you can't get over that hump. There's no way to get over that hump. But by Akotan, you don't need Kabbalah or Mitzvos. We'll see. Check it in a minute. Yeah. Pick up the other day on page 144. Right, 144, I said, and here is some of it. Maybe not. Maybe 144 is 143. Maybe not. Different there. Anyway, it's Reish Samach Ezayin. Sorry, you can't read it. Rav Stein put the numbers on top of the Reish Samach Ezayin. You can't see it so well. It's page 141. Goy Koton, Im Yesh Lav, Yochol Agayer, Vimein Lav, Ubol Is Gayer, O Imum Aviyoso, Right? And Bezdin Megayer also. Shechsu Solo was Och Lodin Shlo Bofanov. Finish your day. Cotton. Shegiru Oviv, Ben Shegiru Bezdin. Yochel Limchos, Meshayagdil, Vendina Kiyishol Mumor, Elokigir. What's he talking about here? What's his business? Av Meviu, Imu Meviu. What's this? So we have to see the Gemara. Well, so someone had asked a question there.
Isn't there something telling the Shmiras Mitzvahs of the family?
I'm sorry?
Well, that's the Shmiras Mitzvahs of the family makes it complicated, that meaning. So even if it's with Tavol with them and Zechavos on this.
Okay, now you have to go a little bit louder.
There's no Tavos on this sort of child.
Yes.
But the family, the Shmiras Mitzvahs of the family.
Yeah, the family doesn't want another. She's. The mother was wearing a cross. Again, my sister Hoya that was involved. Right? The mother's wearing a cross. Mamash. Not any intention of changing it and putting on a shaitel. Right? That's the problem. They don't want gaylos. No. What's the solution? Grab the little one. Right, yeah. Push them underwater. Make sure you take them out in time. Right, and fine. Is that an answer? Right. That's what we're talking. So look at the your day is doing the mechaber doing concepts without any warning. Im av meviyo, imu meviyo. So what's that all about? You left looking the Gemara. So look at the Gemara and Ksubis Yud Aleph. Right, that's on page 154. Fabulous Gemara. And here you have that wonderful Rabor Ber, the Bicha Shmuel, and the Chaim's analysis here. The Mishneh, Yud Aleph, Hagieres, Hashuye, Vashifro, Sheniftu, Venisgairu, Shtachu, Prusos mi benos shloshonim. What happened there? Gieres, Prusa mi shloshonim. How did she become a Gieres? She's not 3 years old yet. What happened to Kabbalah's whole mitzvahs? You know, a 2 year old, you taught her the mitzvahs, so now she's Kabbalah's whole mitzvahs. What is it all about? That's what the Gemara comes to explain the Mishnah. How's the Shai talk about a Ger as Prusim Bizgimu Shonim? Omar Rav Huna, Ger Kotan Madbin Lo Soal Das Bezdin. What we have Das Bezdin? Bezdin Bekabal Lo Mitzvahs for him. The whole Sugi of Ger Kotan requires a simple pshat. Look at Rashi. Aldas Bezin, Shrosho Hava Bitviloso, Kidin Kultvilas Gael, right? Yich Gimel. Look at the Lashon of Rashi. Vehein Nasin Lo Av, Varehu Ger Al Yedehem. And then, after that, the test that Rashi uses is an interesting test. Umago, right? Beyayin Kosher. That's a nice way to differentiate between a Goy and a Jew. Right? Have him touch a bottle of wine. If the bottle of wine stays kosher, then he's a Jew. It comes Yainesach, he's a Goy. What does it mean, Bez Mekabalo? That's what it means. Very simple. I'm sure we're not prepared to do it. But there's nothing wrong, Hapi Alochit, to go outside and grab here in the Dominican Republic on St. Nicholas Avenue, right? You grab a bunch of little ones, you take them to the Broya Mikveh, you dunk them, and they become Jews, period. I mean, the Goyim did it to us, it made Goyim out of our children. We can do it to them now, make Jews out of them. Imagine to be a Dominican Jew living in Washington Heights and on St. Nicholas Avenue. Why? Because Chusulu and Zochalodam Shlo Bafonov. So Tosfos comes and asks the obvious question, how do you do such a thing? It's nice to say it, but you can't do such a thing. How do you pose Judaism on a little boy? V'teimo, Schi is mitam shlichus. I like to think Zochel Odom Shol Bofonov. That's what Gemara says. What's the big chiddush? I'm sorry, go back to Gemara. Omer Avun, Gerkotem Adbim also does best. Maika Mashmalan, Dishusul Lov Zochel Odom Shol Bofonov. Tanina, I know that. That's not a chiddush. Rav said it. Zochel Odom Shol Bofonov. Bein Chovin Lodom Elo Bofonov. Zochel Lodom Shalom Bafonov, right? Means that it's a minu shlichus, the way Tosfos learns. When a baby comes out, the first cry that the baby makes in this world is a cry for help. And what the cry says is, whoever can help me, you are my shliach. Zochel Lodom Shalom Bafonov, that's automatic minu shlichus for schus. If it's a schus, there's an automatic meeting shlichus. Natural law. Right. It's not. Don't need a new legalism for it. The klal is zochel. So comes Tosfos and asks the question, but it's still a din of shlichus. And how can it be a din of shlichus if you hold, you say schi metam shlichus, keeping the schus so low, right? And on Sunday, that he wants to do it. The overly shlich, that he wants you to be his shlich. But when came, but still, how you zochen lekoton? Hello, ain't shlichus lekoton? And Tosfos gives two terutzim. If you people haven't read Ksuvos recently, it's well worth spend a little time on this. And the Tosfos, and then especially the Shita Mikabetzes on this Tosfos has, on this Gemara rather, has Bershem, almost all the sheet is possible. How to analyze the schus for a cotton? What does Tosfos say? Teretz number one, there's no schus for a cotton. Schiyah mitam shlichus, it's only mid rabbanon. Rabbanon stepped in and said, with mid rabbanon zochel. If rabbanon zochel lo, and then what happens? He'll give kedushin, he'll grow up, he'll give kedushin to a Jewish girl, and should become a Kodesh mit Rabbanon. We mit Rabbanon, yeah. Look at Tosfos, right? In Tomar, Hecha have a ger mit Rabbanon, b'shrinu b'bas Yisrael, v'kedush v'kedushin, homenator ovet kechovim hu. Yesh Roma, Yehoz, Yesh Koch, b'yat hachom, yu lakadov menatoro. That's one sheet in Tosfos. The second sheet is, I think, I don't know if it's underlined by you, I think I underlined it in there, right, towards the end of Tosfos. Ulfi svorim de garsinim bo mitziye schiyed miyu isle, vlo goras mit rabonim, mosulameima isle schiyed min ha-Torah. V'yoyvit kechovim, koton, kivin, the bold is gaya, chashmina lo ki yischol koton. Ah, he's still a goy, have trouble problem. He's a koton and he's a goy. There's no schiyah for koton, no schiyah for goy. So how, no problem, right? Afa gab the schiyah mitam shlichus, vein lo shlichus min ha-Torah, hanem ida b'dovet shesh bo ksas chovo. Right, like lahafra shumoso, I'll explain that in a minute. Right, avol kshushchus gomohu lo. If it's a schus gomo, yes. So you have a machlokes, two sheets. Is there schiyah midoraisa for a cotton? I declare schiyah mitam shlichus, and shlichus and shlichus the cotton. No, schiyah is different than shlichus. So Borber quotes, take a look to Bicha Shmuel, I don't know why it's all the way down there, but on page 199, Look at page 199, yeah. In the first paragraph, the way he learned, he points out the two sheetis in Tosfos, Nimso, the Bein Lefi Tirz Rishon, Bein Lefi Tirz Sheni, Havaschi Mitam Shlichus. Right? Nevertheless, if what? If Schus Gomohu, Afilu Main Schi Mitam Shlichus, Gamkin Isladin Schi. You have that at the end of the first paragraph. What does that mean? So, again, time doesn't permit to go to this. I'll just give you the maskona. He quotes the Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim's analysis is Shchi is always mitam shlichus. But shlichus has a limitation based upon a posuk. Kein terimu gam atem. Gam atem l'rabo shluchachem. That's where you learn shlichus from gam atem. And ma atem b'nei das, shom b'nei das, ma atem b'nei Atem Bnei Yaz, Bnei Bris, also Shulchachem Bnei Bris. So it would only be Shlichus for Yisrael, not for a Goy. That's Mitam Shlichus, he says. And Badai Shriya Mitam Shlichus. But who says that Shriya Mitam Shlichus has to be from that Pasuk only? That Pasuk only has the limitations. Therefore, ma'atem b'nei das, meaning gedolim, so shulcham have to be gedolim. But I can have a shchiyah mitam shlichus, right? Not based upon that pasuk. That pasuk merely says it's possible to have shchiyah. It's possible to have shlichus. The din of shchiyah mitam shlichus doesn't mean it has to have those limitations of gam atem, and therefore you can have. But a cotton could be a shliach because the limitation of ma'atem b'nei das doesn't apply to all forms of shlichus. It applies only to this case of shchiya mitam shlichus. Otherwise, I sum up here. Look at the last paragraph. Shchiya mitam shlichus, apirush, ein a parsha mechudeshet b'din shlichus. Therefore, ein a mechalekes midin parsha shlichus. Ba'ashvo, avol yischiya lav mitam shlichus, hapirish means it is not the old posuk gam atem, but it's a shlichus mechudeshes. It's a new aspect of shlichus called schiya, and that's not limited by the posuk of gam atem. Therefore, a koton could be there could be schiya a koton, and that's the second pshat in Tosfos that the schiya is a schiya midoraisa. That the idea of shlichus limited to be a bardas, to be a godol, that is not necessary consequence from the concept of shlichus. Shchiya comes with shlichus, but shlichus does not require to have dafke a bardas. I can have a koton also. Why? He said because it's a natural law kind of shchiya. It doesn't require motzeichel to want someone to help you. A godol needs, you need a godol badas, because there could be a tzad chover to it. What's the tzad chover to it? Tein terimu gam atem. For all he knew, I wanted to give only chita achas poteres hasakhi. I wanted to give just one sheaf of wheat. He decided to give beinoni, echod mechamishim. Therefore, there's a question, what was intent? Once there's a question of intent, you need das. But something which is a schus gomorulo, there's no question of intent. Because everybody, 100% of people, would be willing to have such a shlichus. And therefore, by schus gomor, that's the second pshat in Tosfos. That's what by schus gomor, I don't have a chsoron when the you're dealing with a koton. And you don't have a chsoron, you're dealing with a goy, because it's kind of a gita v'yodo born kachas. Since he's a goy only in transfer, he's on a transfer to becoming a Jew, therefore we don't treat him as a goy, we treat him al shem sofo, therefore they, you know, that's the hezbo for this. No, what's it got to do halacha l'maisa then? So we have here an opportunity, right, to do geiris for a koton, because of a kind of a natural law's chiyah. Do you need his willingness? You don't need his willingness. But it has to be a schus gomer hulo. What's the schus gomer hulo? So here's the... If the father brings him, then what's his choice? The father brings him, I'd like to learn pshat, and the father's also megaya, although it's not necessary to learn pshat that way. That makes it easier to understand. The father's becoming a Jew, and he brings the boy, his son, to be a Jew. What if the son says, no, I don't want to be a Jew? Would it occur to him, no, he's going to now grow up in a household where everybody's turned Jewish, he wants to remain a goy? It's not possible to think such a thing. Therefore, it's what badais chuz gomuholo, to follow what the family is doing, and therefore the geiras helps. But you need a chuz gomuholo for it. That's the key. So why is it chuz gomuholo? Because the father is bringing him. The extent where he says imu, the mother is bringing him, they're not prepared to. The Bechaba is not prepared to say that that's a schuz gomolo. Question is, bizman hazeh, is it schuz gomolo where the father is not becoming fum? There'll be no schuz. What schuz will you have? The house is not going to change. They'll serve chazer every morning. Will this be a gelus? The answer is, almost certainly, yes. That there, technically, it'll be a gelus. Quite a question, the schuz gomuholo, but I'll analyze that a little bit further. Look at the second half, which is the also key to the whole analysis. Can he change his mind later? The little boy grows up inside, it's not a schuz for him. He met friends who are not Jewish. Right, he'd rather be. He grew up in a Jewish house. The father was a guy, the mother was a guy. Right. Now he decides that at the bar mitzvah, he does want to be Jewish. Look at the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? Omar Rav Yosef, back to Gemara and Ksubis Yer Aleph. That's the page 154. Higdilu Yecholon Limchos. When they grow up, they can change their mind. Right. Again, just jumping quickly, but kiven shegdilo shachas v'lo silva shuv eina yechol limchos. But once he becomes bar mitzvah, she becomes bas mitzvah, and a noheg minag yehudis or minag yehudi, that's it. One chance. Now at age 14, he wants to change his mind. No good. Then he's only yisrael shachoto yisrael hu. He's like any other Jew who's doing an Avedus. Now, what does that mean? Halach halamais, in our, I'm focusing on the current situation in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, you think that these kids won't change their mind? You tell him he's not Jewish. He grew up in a house that's not noig minig yadus. Then what happens? He's going to go ahead, go to the procedure, and then change his mind. What did he gain by it? I mean, I don't know if he has to change his mind. He won't be knowing as a Jew. That's automatic change his mind. So the Chasam Sofer comes up with an analysis, a beautiful analysis here. And I say the child is how relevant it is to the current situation. But the halacha is important. Meaning, you have to know this halacha because in the normal circumstances, when we deal with geirus, we're dealing with a geirim where the parents are coming, want to be geirim. Manazem, our problem. I was involved a few years ago in a geirus of a Swedish family. Involved meaning... In the social contact with the family. I told you I'd never involved myself in adult gayers. Yeah. But a wonderful family, unbelievable story where They lived someplace, Sweden is not exactly a friendly country for Jews, and these were Swedes from way back, and living out way in North Sweden, Jenerikveld there, and on the internet they learned about Judaism. They kept up their studies of Judaism on the internet for years, a whole family with five children, and finally ended up in Muncie, came to Muncie to see what it is possible to live like Jews. No Gagosh yet, nothing. They finally went to Etzchol, they were Begaira, the whole family at once. That's after one of the boys was in the Koil already for years, right, without being Jewish. Just testing Judaism the right way. Real Gagosh said that you don't find too many such circumstances there. You go ahead and you're Begaira. A child in a family that wants to be Jewish, there's not much of a problem. Question is there a possibility of Yochol Limchos? So comes the Mechaber Paskens Yochol Limchos. Look at the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer analyzes, and actually we can save time a little bit because the Pisri Tshuva in the Yeridea quotes this Chasam Sofer. It may be easier there, but I want you to catch a nice lashon that he uses here. That's page 218, 219. Okay. The shaila that the Chasam Sofer had was, how can you make a brocha on Tfilas Ger, a Ger Koton? What if he changes his mind? It'll be retroactively a brocha levatola. Okay, he makes a kachon son al Tfilas Gerim, and it turns out that this child is end up a goy. So let's see, just quickly, if you can. See this lotion. Yeah. And maybe just if you look on page 219, the top of the first two of the first column. I'll fill in the words that are missing. It says Romaisi Klal, right, Sheyocho Limchos. Zedas Bahag Varif Begacholis Maisaho de Ravhuna Delog Kirav Yosef. Here, Rav Yosef said, "Im yochol limchol, im higdilu yochol limchos." He says, "You in Perek Acholet, they bring the sugi of Ger Koton, no mention about yochol limchos." So what the Chasam Sofer is basically saying is, machlokes, the two gemaras are in conflict, and the Rif and the Bahag. Passing like the Gemara in Yevamos, no mention of Yochol Limchos. So number one, who says Yochol Limchos? Once the Geirus is done, it's done. There's no Yochol Limchos. There's a nice lotion you have to call your attention to it. He says, even though Harosh per kama the Ksub is shom hikshal arif, Mikom makom lav katlo kanyo ba'agma hu harif. He's not a fellow who you send out a Puerto Rican to cut wood in the swamp. See, you think the rif is a gornish? So the rosh had a kash on the rif. So that takes away the rif. He said, you have the rif and you have the bahag. And what does he conclude? That if the father brings him, if parents bring him, ain't a yochol limchos. Never possibility. Not that he has to wait and see whether he's a godol and he accepts it then. But there's no mechor possible, period. It's important important halacha. If indeed you can convince the parents, and I think there'd be no problem whatsoever, since parents who don't want to be religious, but that it's to the child's social advantage to become a Jew and be recorded as a true Jew on the Misrat HaPnim records, they'll agree to do it. And then Ein Yochel Limchos. That would be a major step forward in solving the problem, which you're afraid of. What is Stan his bolulus of Jew, non-Jew, mixing up, you don't know who's on first, what's on second. You don't know whether he's Jewish or not Jewish. By getting all the kids that are less than bar mitzvah, all the girls less than 12, and you dunk them, that generation, right, will be a Jewish generation that's irreligious. But halachically will be Jewish. And that's the big advantage to it. So, see, in the tshuva of in the Egos on page 185, Shmer relates to this and doesn't agree to what I just said. He doesn't think there's any solution to that problem. Well, he doesn't believe that the Sam Sofer should be Api Aloche. Look at page 185. There's it becomes an unrealistic solution. Look at on page 185, the left-hand column, the second paragraph, right? There he says, Avol kishalo yodiyu osam harayucho limchos l'olam kols mancha izrada. He says that when they become bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, you have to tell them, you know, you have a choice now. You want to remain Jewish, not remain Jewish. And if you don't tell them, well, let it just develop as it's been, you leave it to be. And then when they're 40 years old, they learn about the fact that you can be mocha, you can decide not to be Jewish. Then they can not decide not to be Jewish, and it's retroactive. Then they never were Jewish, and yeinom yeinesach, all the wine they touched all along, becomes yeinesach. That makes the solution a little bit impractical. But that's the ego's hope. Chassam Sofer doesn't say so. So my Shreya wants to learn an important shot in Chassam Sofer. And you get a chance to see yourself. He says it's still based upon Schus Hulo. And what kind of Schus Hulo means? Schus Gomer Hulo. So he questions, what kind of Schus Gomer is it? Lechatchile. To have a fellow become Jewish in a house where they'll serve ham and eggs in the morning. Where does Chusulo come in? The answer to that question is it a schus to be a Jew, an irreligious Jew, better than to be a religious goy? That you need a little bit of chauvinism to come in to the analysis. And in other tshuvas, the Shreya hints at that in the question. They're adopting children. Should you or should you not? Right? Is it a schus to let a child who's being adopted by an irreligious couple, Jewish couple, is it a schus, right, to go through a gerus for that child to grow up in an irreligious home? Or do you say it's better to be an irreligious Jew than to be a goy? That remains open. But of all the attempts, or whatever attempts people have made to make a dent in that child, which is a devastating social problem in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, you see what's happening now. Kids have been ready with each other for a whole generation. You think there's no intermarriage there and with kids who will be declared Jewish by the Jewish agency? That's been the problem. The tumul made by the army, by army galus, that's a minor infraction of the rules compared to what's been going on. When they came from Russia, someone stamped their passport as Jewish. They gave a regular Israeli passport, didn't differentiate Jew and not Jew. And therefore, everybody assumed they were Jewish. And these have their kids in school, they've met, they've married already, and so on and so forth. Properly, in this analysis, I want to call your attention to what is on the other side of the coin. Is it possible for a Jew to become a goy? Not for a goy to become a Jew, which is what we've been talking about. Was it possible for a Jew to become a goy? He wants out. Remember, the people came to Yecheskel Hanovi, Perek Chof in Yecheskel, and said, "We want out. Nie kechol agoyim asher shoseh. We want to be like goyim. We signed a contract, a covenant with Kadosh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai. Who gave you permission to sign in my name?" And Kadosh Baruch Hu answers, "Hoyo lo siya," kind of, "will not be, will not accept your, you want out, you will not be." That incident, historical incident, deserves more attention than we have time to give. But essentially, the way the Akedah Sitzchok learned shot there, fabulous shot, that Kadosh Baruch Hu answered, "We're not talking about you're deciding to be a Jew or not a Jew. I bought you as a slave. Avod Ahein. I didn't free you from Paro. I bought you from Paro. And by buying you from Paro, you're my slaves. You want it out? Too bad for you. I'm not releasing you." He says, "If I release you, you have to release me from my promise to Avraham Avinu. I'm not prepared to ask for that release. I'm not prepared to change my promise to Avraham Avinu. Right? You can't change your promise to me because yours wasn't the promise. Avod Ahem, I didn't ask you to become Jewish or not. You had a choice. You want to stay by Paro? People stayed by Paro. They died out in the Yimei Choshech. Right? You had a solution. You came out. You came out as my slaves, and not you have no free will, free choice to decide." He says, "Shavod Ahem, that's it." But can you back off? Can a Jew decide not to be a Jew? So it happened once in our history, and according to some sofa, it happens every day. If you look on page 146, a wonderful machlokes of the Rav and the Tosfos Yontif. It's a Mishnah in Nida, right? Look what we have there. Look how the Rav and Mishnayos, look how he learned Shat. The Kusim were Jewish. We passed in the Ger Arroyos, they were Ger Emes. Woman Amma says, no, it turns out that they were always over there. They had a few little getchkalach that they kept hedging their commitment. But if the Ger Arroyos, they were Ger Emes. And then they discovered that they're not behaving properly. Found they're doing a little Aveda Zorah on the side. So what happened? Who drummed them out of the army? How'd they become no longer Jewish? So that the Ksomim, the Kesem of Akusi, is not Metame. Look what he says. So the Rav has it very simple. Kvar nifsiko halocha, I have it underlined there for you. Bizman hazeh gozu al kusim liyus kinochim l'chol devreim v'kismeim tohorim kikismei hanochim. How did that happen? Comes the Tesis Yontif and asks, is that possible? That has been not possible. But koshali, loma lo yitame boil the whole vageri emes. You mean the kisei mitame? What about a kusi mitame? A kusi dropped dead. But oil, is he mitame or not? You say, no, he's not mitame anymore. He's kenochim, the whole devreim. He says, what? How did that happen? Right? Yisrael gomuhu, ela shachoto. So achloma, and I'm swearing the gerai royo saying, that may behold me, Gerorius, mean they're not really, he used that expression, meaning they're not gay, they were never Makabal Gerus. But if they're Makabal Gerus, a Jew can't become a non-Jew. What does the Rav say? Yes, he doesn't say that we question the Gerus, but he says what? Gozru, right? Gozru al Kusim, they decided to. So, take a look in the Chasam Sofer, in Hilchus Tefillin. By the way, Rav Stein, I had trouble finding that page. I may miss another page for it. And then Adam found it. It got hidden over another page. Look at page 217. So should I move that up a little bit? But I guess you put it with the Chasam Sofer. See, I put together the Chasam Sofer, the Chasam Sofer is on two separate pages, so I just put it together there for you. Look what he says there. I am betoys the shantif. Okay, are you with me? Nira lefi ani yizdaiti. Sheyesh koach bechlal yisrael lahotzi hamordim mechlal ha'umo. Dramatic state. Af lahokel. What does the hokel always mean in Gerus? Kedushim, kedusha of einan kedushim. He gave kedushim to a woman, she could walk off, no need of a get. Right, that's the test of tests. A mumul is Bekadosh Anisha, she needs a get. Here he says, no. V'zecha l'dovo. Right? Shehitu lehem zayin ha-mitzvos afagab de lavrai gemuri mekom okom kei nirali. Right? V'heim nimnu v'nimrad v'gomru lohutziyem mibris yisroer legamri. Right? U'begit in Pirush Rashi. Yeshoma kivin shepwat shemumur. I can hear it clearly. I have it. I should use my copy, which is a little clearer. Okay, here. Ubegitin Pirush Rashi Shahamosu, right? Porak Ol Toro Yeshlomo Kivin Shemosel the Tav Hare Mosa Chaveru Gam Lahaviru Al Das Moshe Yisrael. Vimlo the Porak Ol Toras Kulu Lo Ovid Hochi Mutzinim BeEzro, right? Yecham Kol Rechusho Vuhu Yibodel Mikahal Hagola Mashma Shosir Mechal Yisrael Kach Nirali. Unbelievable Chasam Sofer, La'alochim, it would solve a lot of problems. Not in Hilchos Gerus, but Hilchos Ishus. I can't tell you how often you have a case where the person doesn't want to give a get. Often by a ger situation. he was a ger, they got married, and then things fell apart, and he's no longer behaving like a ger. He went back hechzer l'suvo, according to the lochos that we learned, right? And vaday, he still yisrael mumu, right? And kedusha of kedusha, and she needs a get. But if you accept what Chaim Sofer says, that a person who's porek all mitzvos, yeah, then I don't need to go with the question, can you undo gerus? I can undo yadus, not gerus. Who will take the authority to do so? So maybe Ezra, okay, Ezra took, he says, that's what I'm trying, Ezra took the authority. So he bought Il Mikal HaGola, we threw him out, right? Drummed him out of the army, a dishonorable discharge. But the potential is there, and to me it's very significant. It's something that, unfortunately, we're not prepared to talk about how you can get rid of some Jews. We're trying still to make a few, can't afford to get rid of them. But that potential exists. It speaks well to the whole concept of Gerus, that Gerus is a act of Bezdin Shel Yisrael to sell, to give over to another person Kedushas Yisrael. And if I can sell it to you, right, I can sell it to you with the tenai that you behave properly. And if you didn't behave properly, you didn't live up to your requirement of Gerus, then you lost, the contract is void. You're no longer. So, Chaim Sofer is willing to say that about a born Jew. Alachas kam v'kam, he should be to say it about a Gerus. It speaks entirely different language to the whole concept of Gerus as we have it today. Right now, the emphasis has been, once he's a Ger, after that it's Yisrael Shachoto. It may not be so. Question now, people have the courage to make use of what we have of Mikolos for such a thing. Okay. Brings me to I don't know if we made a copy of this, but want to tie that in with it. That's a, I have it. I don't think you have a copy of it. Did we do about the ovum transfer? Gave him, no, we never made that copy of that. You should get a copy of it. Okay. There's the simple source of that. There's a last year in Nisan Toshanayan, Hamayan had a quick summary, and that really was a summary of a beautiful halachic analysis of ovum transfer there in Yeshurun of Nisan Toshanayan. Yeshurun had maybe 120 pages on this shayla. What was the business? And the Mayan quotes it accurately. I'll read it to you. Right. It was a he calls it a psotzer, right? At a meeting of Rabbonim, yeah. And it says, Rabbi Yosef Shlita, Sheledaito, Beitza Shal Isha Kovas has Hayachas Hayolud Bemikre Shal Trumas Beitzis. Verechem Isha, Eina Ella Mokom Chitzoni. That's the quote that was made all over the newspapers in Eretz Yisrael. And this is summed up in this short thing of the Mayan. If you want, we can make it available to the boys to give out. What's he saying? Ovum transfer is in. Eretz Yisrael maybe more than any place else in the world. Namely, women who can't conceive because they lost their ability to produce fertile eggs are getting eggs from elsewhere. Elsewhere, the Rabbanut doesn't allow eggs from a Jewish woman, or Shaila, then of Arayos. So all eggs are from non-Jewish sources. And for 22 years, when Rabbi Yosef Shaita Paskin that Shaila 22 years ago, the ruling was the birth mother is the mother. The one who bears the child, the so-called gestational mother, is the mother. And that's how they were passing all along. And suddenly, last year at a conference there, it was sponsored by Shai Tzedek, I'm not sure. It was a conference where Rav Sherman got up and read a psak from Rav Yoshev that the genetic mother is the mother. So that the lady who contributed the egg, right, usually a co-ed on a college campus, that's where the main source of ovum for donation are. You go to any university today, you see on the student bulletin board, you see advertisements from infertility clinics, advertising for women to donate ova. It's a significant thing. I'm saying you can go on the internet and look up ovum donation, and you'll see girls advertising high high grades on something there on the GREs, high grades on GRE, blonde, blue-eyed, etc. $50,000 they want. The going rate today is about $15,000 for an ovum donation. Now, ovum donation, by the way, doesn't mean one egg, which opens a lot of nice shaylis and arayos, but usually a young girl, they stimulate with hormones, and she can produce anywhere between 10 and 20, 25 eggs in one session. Remember, the eggs don't come out. It's not like chickens laying eggs. Eggs got to come out by making a hole in the belly. So they have to go through a rigorous preparation, and they're entitled to be paid for it. Now it turns out that all those women who gave birth using eggs from non-Jewish sources, right, all their children are non-Jewish. Error was made, the chatchile. They should have done a geirus l'chumra, but it didn't cost anything. I told you I'm involved in geirus up to 6 months only. They're usually from women with infertility problems that I was involved in resolving, and these women, we have bring the children, especially now, we have two coming up there. Why? Because Pesach is coming. They don't like the idea of taking a month-old, two-month-old baby and throwing them in a mikveh. But Pesach is coming, and once Yom Tov is coming, you have a problem. You can't cook anything for the baby. You remember? There's an isu. The heter is Acha Sheyochel Chol Nefesh Hu Levada Yosel Lachem Lachem V'lo Lakum. So you can't even warm a bottle for the baby on Yom Tov. So if you're going to do a geirus, you've got to do it before Yom Tov. So they should be comfortable to take care of the children. There. This decision to go with genetic motherhood, the way the secular world has been going all along, and to deny the gestational motherhood, has now made a real chulbut. You're dealing with several hundred women that are involved in this problem. Yeah, it's not a minor problem. Yeah. I personally believe that the motherhood should be gestational motherhood, not genetic motherhood. Yeah. We have no raya from the Torah who's called a mother. Gemara didn't discuss such a thing. Right. We don't have anything. And miseichel, if you had to choose between two, if you have any understanding of biology, you'll understand that the gestational mother is more of a mother than the genetic mother. Why? I gave the Hesber once before. A genetic mother is an architect who gives a blueprint. and the gestational mother is the builder who builds the house. Who made a greater contribution to your house? The architect, you went in and bought from him a blueprint, then you handed it over to a contractor, right? And he has to hire the plumber and the electrician and the carpenters, etc. And he works for a year to build your house. And the builder of the house is the architect. All the little girl who contributed the egg, all she did is give a blueprint. And then the mother who bears where the egg implants, the mother has to provide the entire construction of a new human being. To say that doesn't count, and the genetic counts, if you had to choose between the two, it makes far more seichel to give credit to the gestational mother.
If the gestational mother is the mother, is there still a chashash of arayos? Meaning if the gestational mother...
Oh, it's a terrible... That's why you have to deal with a non-Jew.
In other words, why is there a chashash of arayos? If the gestational mother is the mother, so you know who the mother is. So
I'm sorry?
If the gestational mother is the mother, so then we know who the mother is, so what's the extra concern with arayos?
It's only because... We're going lechumah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but that doesn't apply, by the way, to a male. That's nothing to do with sperm donation. Sperm donation is vada. Vada goes with the male. There. Yeah. So that. Yeah.
Right.
But on egg economy, yeah. I think it's much of a problem. Nevertheless, we go lechumah. So we don't want to, there's another problem, non-halachic, and that is genetic. You don't want intermarriage of brother and sister for genetic reasons, not only for halachic reasons.
I was wondering, just Alan, just this very building we're in, we honored very much the architect, not the builder. Meaning, like, today, one of the claims to fame and one of the reasons that a lot of money spent on this very building was the architect and not the builder. So I would think, when you think of a building, you think of the architect, the big name, isn't that true?
Don't think that way. Why should you think that way? You put up a sign on, well, you put a sign up, the carpenter, right, he was a, most likely a Mexican illegal immigrant, right? So he didn't put his name, he put his name on the wall. The architect put his name on the wall, that doesn't get... The Kli Hashem on the wall doesn't make him into more of a builder than the builder. Anyway, that's a program. I'm just sharing this fellow with you. Called the last point, call your attention to what's relevant. Minyona Dioma on page 220. You read it for yourself. Time doesn't permit. The big question there, take a look at page 220. I gave you there one from the Sefer Menosa Levi from Reb Shlomo Alkabetz, right, and the other one from a Daf Hayomi thing that I picked up in Eretz Yisrael a few years ago, right, and that is what the Gemara means, Moran Gittin, that the Bnei Homon, when it's Gairu and they taught Torah in Bnei Brak. Some people think they're still teaching there. What do you mean? How is it possible? There's an Isul to be Megaya Amalek. One Asad can be Megaya Amalek. How did it happen? And the simple tenets that they give is that it wasn't the Bnei Haman, it was Benos Haman. That the daughters from Haman, right, they married into another nation. And in other nations, it doesn't go with the matrilineal descent, it goes with patrilineal descent. And therefore they were Bnei Homam, but no longer Bnei Amalek, because they married out of their nation there. Okay, we'll stop here.